All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, Luke 17, for the message tonight. Luke 17. While you're turning, just a reminder, next Sunday, or next Saturday night, is time change. Yay, we go to daylight savings time next Saturday night. So, you lose an hour of sleep. You can make up for it Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:45. All right, take your pick. Some of you all do that anyway, so I just might as well go ahead and let you do it. Amen. Amen. I know my preaching has that effect on people. I've noticed that after 40 years, but time change next week. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I'll take it, though. I like daylight savings time. I like it. I wish they'd leave it alone, to be honest with you. I understand why they did it years ago, you know, during the war and all that stuff. But we're not in that war anymore. So let's put it on daylight savings time and leave it there. That's what I say. But they won't let me run things. But. All right, Luke 17, you there? Yes. All right, let's begin in verse 3. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Now watch this. And the apostles said, notice plural, not just one of them, but several of them, if not all of them. If not all of them said it outwardly, they were saying it in their hearts. They were all thinking the same thing. Wait a minute, seven times in one day? You want me to forgive my brother who offends me seven times in one day? After about six times, I'm going to knock a stuffing out of him. That's what you're thinking, right? That's what they were thinking. All right, I can see once or twice, but seven times? Are you kidding me? And so the apostles, plural, they said to the Lord, look at verse 5, whew, if we're going to do that, you're going to have to increase our faith. You know, we're going to need some more faith. You with me? All right, so look at verse 6. Now here's the Lord's teaching on this. Now watch. And the Lord said, "If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed." That's tiny. That's just a little tiny seed. You could put that mustard seed in your hand and have to look for it. It's that small. And Jesus said, "If you had just that amount of faith, just that little itty bit of faith, the size of a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you," now here's a parable to help with the principle that was laid down in verse 4. About forgiving him seven times a day. Here's the little illustration, the parable to help us understand it. And in verse 7, he says, "But which of you," watch this carefully now, "having a," what's the next word? "Servant, plowing or feeding cattle," in other words, working on the farm, working for you, "which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Which of you will say that? Who is going to say to your servant, oh, you've done such a good job today. Won't you go sit down and I'll fix you something to eat. That ain't going to happen. Verse 8, and I will rather say unto him, or I will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me. Now this is the master speaking to the servant. The master is not going to say to the servant, oh, you've worked so hard today. Come on in and sit down. Let me take your shoes off and let me fix you. No, he's not going to say that. He's not going to say that. So what he is going to say is, I tell you what you do. You've worked hard all day. Come in now. Fix me dinner. Fix me dinner. And then afterward, after I've eaten, you can eat and drink if there's anything left. Verse 9. Another question. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And the answer is no. He didn't thank him. He paid him. Nod your head. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Didn't thank him. He paid him. The man was doing his duty. The man was doing his job. The man was doing what he was hired to do. So he didn't get patted on the back for doing his job. And so Jesus said, I trow not. Can I give you a 2018, what year is it? 18 translation of I trow not? I don't think so. That's what it means. I don't think so. He said, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I don't think so. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of profitable or unprofitable. Let's pray. Father, I pray you will help us tonight. And I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts. I ask you to help me as I speak. I have a lot on my heart to say, but I need to say what you would have me say tonight. And Lord, stir our hearts to be profitable for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, for our God. I pray that you will just speak to our hearts tonight and draw us to yourself. Help us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a little parable in verse 7 to verse 10 that I want to call to your attention tonight. I want you to notice that this little parable has no explanation given to it. And yet it teaches one of the most valuable lessons about Christian responsibility and Christian obligation and Christian duty that you're going to find anywhere in the Bible. Now let's go back just a minute and let me set the stage for you. Let me set this up for you so that you'll see the context wherein everything was discussed that is found in this chapter. Back in verse 1, the Lord Jesus started to teach his disciples a lesson that he thought they would need. He knows that the time is at hand. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. And they're going to be left alone. And so he is going to give them a lesson that he thinks they're going to need. And that lesson is that when you are offended by another, if the offender asks for forgiveness, then you are to forgive him. And you're going to be offended, by the way. That's the point. The Lord Jesus just is wanting the disciples to realize that they're going to be offended. And the Lord said, even if seven times in one day you were offended, and seven times the person that offended you asks you to forgive him or her, you are to forgive them. And notice that the whole group of the disciples, all of them, were all thinking the same thing. They were all sitting there thinking to themselves, whew, mercy, Lord, if you are expecting me to do that, to forgive the same person seven times in one day, then you're going to have to increase my faith. I just don't have that kind of faith. Lord, I just don't have enough faith to do that. And that's when the Lord Jesus said what he did in verse 6 about the size of your faith. The size of your faith is not the issue here. You'll notice in verse 6, he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. And that's not a whole lot. I mean, seriously, folks, you can put a mustard seed in your hand, in the palm of your hand, and you got to look for it. It is that tiny and it is that small. And the Lord said that it's not the size of your faith. When it comes to this matter that he is talking about, of having a forgiving heart and a compassionate heart and a loving heart, you don't need bulk, okay? You don't need faith so far as quantity is concerned. What you need here is obedience. You need to just be obedient and do what you're supposed to do. A little faith can do marvelous, wonderful things. It can accomplish mighty things. And Jesus was saying here that we are not to seek faith in this area. We are to simply be obedient. Just be obedient to the Lord. And when we are obedient, then God will see to it that we get faith to sustain us at our level of obedience. All right? Now, let me help you. Let me illustrate it. All right? Let's say it's a new day, and right here is 8 o'clock in the morning. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, this guy offends you. And then he turns right around and he says, look, I offended you and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And you say, yes, I will forgive you. Now, what are you doing? You're being obedient. That's what the Lord said we're to do, right? Nod your heads. You with me? All right, so that's 8 o'clock. Now, 2 hours go by and now it's 10 o'clock. And this same guy comes back and reoffends. Same offense. And then he says, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Will you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. So now, 8 o'clock, forgiven. 10 o'clock, forgiven. Now it's noon. And at noon, this guy comes in and does the same thing and offends you all over again. But this time, you get up out of your seat, grab him by the nape of the neck, and bloody his nose for him. Now, let me ask you a question. Was anything wrong with your faith? No. You had faith at 8, and you had faith at 10, and you still have faith at noon. Your problem is not faith. Your problem is obedience. You lost it. And you punched him in the nose. All right? So the problem is your obedience. You obey God every day, every step, and God will supply you with faith to sustain you at the level of your obedience. Now, we say, oh, Father, give me faith and make me a good Christian. But what we ought to be saying is, Lord, help me to be obedient. And then in obedience, the Lord will increase our faith. Now, keep that in mind as we now look at this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 6 through verse 9, and I want you to see the story here. Here's the story. In verse 6, we have a servant, and we have the master. All right, now let's think about these two main characters. The servant, look at him in verse 7. He said, "But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle?" All right, now the point is, your servant is working. All right, he's doing what you hired him to do. He is working. He is being paid to do his job. He is a servant. You hired him, and he is working. And then you've got the master. And in verse 7, we see the master enter into the picture. And will he say to the servant, "Go and sit down to meat," when he comes in from working in the field? All right, will he come and when the servant comes in, will the master say, "Sit down and eat dinner"? And will not rather say unto him, in other words, what he won't say is, "Go and sit down to meat." What he will say is, "Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink." All right, so will the master say to the servant after he's worked all day long, "Come on in and sit, I have cooked you supper"? The answer is no, he's not going to say that. Will he say in verse 8, "You have worked hard all day, but your duties are not done. Cook my supper, and after, then you can eat"? And the Lord said, yes, that is what he will say. Now, look at the heart of the story. In verse 9, I think this is the heart of the story. Look at it. He said, "Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him?" I don't think so. I don't think so. You see, here's the point. The Lord Jesus just puts it right down. No, look at that 10th verse. "Shall have done all those things commanded," all those things. Then when the servant has done all that he was commanded to do, the servant would say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty." Now, folks, pay close attention to the wording here. Look at these words: all, commanded, done, duty. So what does this mean to us? Well, what it means basically is we are unprofitable servants. That's basically what it means. Doesn't it seem strange to you? Here's a guy who has done all, not part. He has done all his duty. And yet he says, "I am unprofitable to my master." Strange, isn't it? Now, what does that mean? All right, let me illustrate it. When I came home from college my senior year, 9 months early, all right, I went back and graduated, but I got kicked out of college, all right? And you say, why? We'll get into that later. That has nothing to do with the illustration. But when I came home, Jimmy Carter was president, and there were no jobs. None. And I could not find a job. And so there was a guy in our church that owned a tree trimming company, a tree business. And he said, "Well, you can work for me if you'll work." And I said, "Doing what?" "Well, I got booted from school in October." All right, so the tree business dries up in September and October. And so he said, well, through the winter, all we do is cut and split and deliver firewood to keep the business going. And I said, so I would be on the business end of a chainsaw. And he said, yes, that's pretty much what you do. And so I said, well, can I do this until I find something else? And he said, oh, yeah, that'd be fine. And so I went to work for him. Now, I got paid $3 an hour and all the sawdust I could eat. It was awesome. All right. I mean, it was a brutal job. And when finally spring came, we got to graduated off of the firewood shift and got to the tree trimming shift, and the job was pretty interesting. But through the winter months, all we did was firewood. Just cut, split, stack, haul, deliver, firewood. Well, Rodney got a call one day from a fella that he knew, and the guy said that the coal mines up in the northern end of Kanawha County, the Union Carbide mines, were putting in all new mining posts in their mines. And so if we wanted the old post, they were just going to throw them out, and all we had to do was go throw them on the truck. They're already seasoned. They're all in 8-foot, 10-foot widths, and they were perfect. I mean, you split them once, and then you split them again. Easy. So we went and gathered up 3 rows on dump trucks. Took all day loading, and we had that thing loaded to the stacked to the hilt. It took all day, and we drove it home and parked it at the business on a Saturday. And then on Monday morning, Rodney conveniently had to go and give an estimate for a job, leaving me there by myself with 3 rows stacked, as high as that truck would stack them, and a chainsaw by myself. And I stood there and looked at that thing and thought, good grief. And I remembered that there was a John's Red chainsaw in the shop with a 54-inch blade. This is a big boy saw. And I went in the shop and I got that saw and I fired that thing up, climbed up on top of that stack of logs on that dump truck, got up on top of it and marked me 18 inches all the way back to the cab. And then I started at the front and pushed that trigger down and then put that set button on that thing to where all I had to do was just tip the end of it. And I put that thing on 18 inches and just went like that. And that saw cut through that wood and it was falling off the back of that truck quicker than I could get out of the way. And in no time, I had that entire truck cut up. And then Rodney calls the office phone and tells his wife, who was the secretary, that he had to go get this and had to go get that, and he'd be there after a while. So she hollers out the window and tells me that he's coming after a while. Well, I already had it all cut up, and I was starting to split it. And so by the time he got there, at about 2:33 in the afternoon, I had most of it cut and split. I mean, it was so dry. All you had to do was just hit it one time, boom. And so I was just going through it and splitting it, and it was stacked up. And by the time Rodney pulled in, all of it was just about completely done. And Rodney got out of his truck, and he was almost in tears. He said, "Norse, do you realize you have made your salary and my salary for the next 2 weeks? Look at this," he said. And he gave me the rest of the day off. I got to go home. But he paid me for the 2 hours that I didn't work, because he was so happy because I made the company a profit. But then there was a day, several months later in the spring, where he said, "We have a job and we have to take down an elm tree. But there's a problem." He said, "There's a high tension power line that goes through that elm tree. So we couldn't get the power company to turn the power off long enough for us to fall that tree. So we had to get up there, tie off every branch, and then make a cut and pray to the good Lord in heaven that it did not zap one of us and kill us." I mean, I was scared to death. You could hear the power running through that line. Oh, man, it scared me to death. And you know what? He priced that tree at $150 for the takedown. Do you know what happened? It took us 4 days to get that tree down. Oh, we didn't make Wright's Tree Service a profit on that day. Now, that day I was on that dump truck sawing firewood, he would sell half a load. This was a long time ago. He would sell half a load for $35. A half a load for $35. That was almost a cord. And it was $35. And a full load was $60. I mean, I don't know how many loads we got out of that, but it was a lot. It was a lot. So I made the company a profit. And folks, listen, here's what I think Jesus is teaching. I think that the Lord is saying that there are just too many of God's people who are content to do basic Christianity. They're just satisfied with their church attendance, with their prayer life, with their Bible study. They're just satisfied with what they do. But God wants us to go beyond the call of duty. And God wants us to give ourselves wholly and totally to being servants that bring a profit to Him. You see the difference? Now let's take the tithe for example. God says we're to tithe. That's our duty. As a Christian, we are to tithe. 10% of our income is to be tithed to the church. And so, but here's what many folks say. They say, "Well, all right, I'll tithe. I'll give 10%, but that's all God's getting. The rest of it's mine. The rest of it's mine. I'm not giving any more than that." Oh, you're saying you're going to do your duty. That's right. I'm doing my duty, but that's it. Well, God wants us to go beyond that. God wants us to go beyond that. Go do more than what is your duty. Don't forget the context, folks. If you are not increasing your obedience, then your faith stays the same. If you're not increasing your obedience, then your faith stays the same. There's no growth and there's no increase and there's no profit. And folks, right here is why so many of our churches are just filled to the brim with stale, stagnant, stubborn saints. We just go that far and say, "That's our duty and that's all I'm doing." I don't know how many people, their whole mentality and mindset is Sunday morning only. Man, you ought to give God a little increase. Now, I know I'm preaching the choir because y'all are here tonight. But y'all go tell the others that aren't here what I said tonight, would you? I mean, folks, right here, this is why our churches are at the same spiritual level that we've been at for the last 30 years. We do what is our duty, but never go beyond what is our duty to do. And we need to go beyond the call of duty. Let's take church attendance just for a minute. Here's a believer who thinks his duty is to be in Sunday morning church and Sunday school, and then that's it. You never see him darken the door on Sunday night. You never see him darken the door on Wednesday night. They never come to any special meetings, the revival or the Bible conference or the missions conference. I mean, they don't come to any of that, but they're there Sunday morning, Sunday night. You can bank, or Sunday morning and Sunday school, you can bank on that. But they never come Sunday night. Well, I've done my duty. And they're impressed with themselves. But I tell you what, folks, God's not much impressed. God says you're unprofitable. God says you're unprofitable. Listen, folks, I've been at this preaching business for enough years to realize and say without apology that every Christian ought to be in the house of God every time the doors are open unless you're sick or working or providentially hindered. We just ought to be in the house of God. Give God more than just what is your duty to give him. Our Savior established the church, and he knew that we would need a place to come in from the storm, and a place to sing, and a place to rejoice, and a place to laugh together, and cry together, and pray together, and fellowship together. And you stay home, and you're not making God a prophet. It's just that simple. If I had the time tonight, I could apply this to dozens of areas. Let's take a soul winning. You say, well, I took the soul winners club and I led my family to Christ. Now I'm done. Wait. Other families need the Lord too. You know, go beyond your duty. I mean, go beyond your duty. Shock Pastor Ray and get back into it again. I mean, just make a profit for God. I mean, you can apply this to so many areas, folks. Soul winning, tithing, faithfulness, getting along with one another, teaching your Sunday school class. You say, well, you know, we've got our regulars in our class. Well, go after some new ones. Get some new ones in your class. How about Bible study? You know, we get the little booklets out in the hallway and we sit down and take, 7 minutes, 6 minutes to read that little booklet, 5 minutes. Depends on how fast you read. And then if you take the time to read the scriptures that go with that, it might take you 6 or 7 minutes to read that little page out of your devotional book that you get outside. And then we call that devotions. Well, why don't you go beyond that and meditate upon the scripture and search the scripture and study the scripture and memorize the scripture? Amen. I mean, make God a prophet in this area and get to know your Bible. Amen. There's so many areas you could apply this. Serving in some ministry in the church. We had a family visiting us this morning, and that family was so impressed with all the ministries that we have here in the church. And I said, well, good, amen. And said, well, I guess what impresses people is the fact that it takes people to run those ministries. Folks, where are you plugged in at? You need to be plugged in somewhere. Make God a prophet. You say, well, I come to church. I know. And I'm glad you do. Don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled that you're here. But why don't you plug in somewhere? Do something. And make God a prophet. You'd be surprised how the Lord will use you if you'll just let God use you. Oh, well, Pastor, I do my duty. Yeah, and that's the reason why so many Christians are at the same spiritual level that they've been at for the last 25 years. They're just content to do what is their duty. And I'm saying, let's do more. Let's do more. Let's determine tonight that we're going to make God a prophet. You know, the thing about making Rodney a prophet that day is after that, he expected me to do that every week. I mean, I don't know how many times he brought it up to me. He said, you remember that week that you, I said, yeah, Rodney, I do remember that. You sorry rascal, you. Oh, he was constantly reminding me of the fact that I made him a fortune that week. I wonder if God's not sitting up in heaven going, I sure wish they'd do a little more. I sure wish somebody make me a little profit this week. Profitable or unprofitable?